Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. By Bhagwan's grace, we are now in chapter 25 of Prema Vahini. And this is a chapter where Bhagwan is enumerating the qualities of a vanaprastha. If you have read this chapter before, you will find that the disciplines and the kind of conduct that Bhagwan is mentioning that a person should indulge in this stage of one's life. We have four stages in one's life according to Indian culture and spirituality: Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. Here Bhagwan is mentioning certain traits which perhaps might be disciplines which many of us might feel, is it really possible to do? Can we really live up to it? In fact, I am Bishu, and along with me Sai Prakash, who are the co-hosts of this program. You know, both of us felt that we are really not competent enough to discuss this segment that Bhagwan has mentioned. And, you know, we pray to Bhagwan, and Swami has arranged Bhagya sir to be with us, Mr. Bhagya, who has been a mentor and a spiritual guide for so many students over decades in the university. By Bhagwan's grace, he is here with us. So we will listen to what Bhagwan has written in this chapter 25, and then we'll pray to Bhagwan and listen to how what he guides Bhagya sir to share with us on this topic.
మనుజుడు గృహస్థుడుగా ఉండి సంకట సంతోష సౌఖ్యములను పొంది అందులోని నిజమైన అర్థములు గ్రహించి 45 సంవత్సరములు లేదా 50 సంవత్సరములు పూర్తిగా నిండగనే సర్వ సంకట సంతోష సౌఖ్యములను త్యజించి తాను నిర్మించిన గృహమును వీడి ఊరిని విడిచి అరణ్యవాసి కావలను. అట్టి తరుణమున తన ధర్మపత్ని ఉండిన ఆమెను సమ్మతపరచి తన కొడుకుల చెంతను తల్లిదండ్రుల చెంతను విడువచ్చును. లేకున్నా వెంట తీసుకుని వెళ్లి సతీపతుల భావనను విసర్జించి బ్రహ్మచర్యమును ఆచరించుచు కేవలము అన్నా చెల్లెలు భావముల ప్రవర్తించుచు ఆహారాదులయందు సైతము మార్పు కలిగి కందమూలాదులతో పండ్లు పాలతో అట్లు కాకున్నా సాత్విక ఆహారులై అగ్నిచే పూర్తి పక్వము పొందించక 3వ వంతు పక్వపరచి భుజించవలెను. బియ్యమును ఎక్కువ ఉపయోగించరాదు. అట్లు తనకు తాను ఏర్పాటు కలిగించుకొనలేని స్థితిలో ఊరియందు పోయి భిక్షమెత్తి ఊరియందే భుజించక తన నివాసమైన అడవికి తెచ్చి ఆరగించవలెను. తానే రకమైన ఆహారమును భుజించునో అట్టిదే ఆశ్రయించిన వారికి అందించవలెను. కాని వాని రుచికి తగిన వాటిని తయారు చేయించుటకాని తెచ్చి ఇచ్చుటకాని జరుపరాదు. అది వారు భుజించినా సరే లేకున్నా పండ్లు పాలతోనే వారిని తృప్తిపరచవలను. కాని ఇతరులకని తన నియమమును మార్చుకోరాదు. ఎట్టి అననుకూల పరిస్థితులు సంభవించినను క్రమశిక్షణ మాత్రము విడువరాదు, మార్చరాదు. వీటిని చాలా ముఖ్యముగా గమనించవలను. వీరు అర్చన దాన ధర్మాదులు ఆచరించరాదు. వారి చెంత నుండిన భోజనము వేరే ఇతర వస్తువులు కాని ఇతరులకు ఇచ్చినను దానముగా తలంచరాదు. దేనినైనను ఇతరుల చెంత నుండి దానముగా సహితము పుచ్చుకొనరాదు. సర్వులయందు సమాన పవిత్ర ప్రేమ కలిగి ఉండవలెను. ప్రతి ఆశ్వయుజ మాసమునందు జీర్ణవస్త్రములు వదిలి క్రొత్త వాటిని గ్రహించవలెను. వానప్రస్థుడు ఆచరించవలసిన వ్రతములలో చాంద్రాయణ వ్రతము ముఖ్యము. ఆ మాసమునందు 15 దినములు తాను తిను ఆహారమందు దినమునకొక ముద్ద చొప్పున తగ్గించవలెను. 2వ పక్షమున క్రమక్రమేణా దినమునకొక ముద్ద చొప్పున హెచ్చు చేయుచుండవలెను. పౌర్ణమి అమావాస్యలందు వట్టి గంజి మాత్రము త్రాగవలెను. వర్ష ఋతువులో వానలయందు నిలిచి తపస్సు చేయవలెను. హేమంత ఋతువులో తడిగుడ్డలతో తపస్సులు చేయవలెను. క్రమాభ్యాసముగా ఈ తపస్సులు చేయుచు ఉదయము మధ్యాహ్నము సాయం సమయములందు స్నానము ఆచరించవలెను. వివిధ ఉపనిషద్ వాక్యములను అర్థము అనుభవము సహితముగా పఠించుచుండవలెను. అట్టి వానప్రస్థునికి ఏదైనా శరీర సంబంధమైన వ్యాధులు వెంటబడినా తాను భుజించుచున్న ఆహారములు మాని కేవలము జలము వాయువులే ఆహారముగా స్వీకరించి ఈశాన్య దిక్కుగా ప్రయాణం సాగించి మరణపర్యంతము పోవలెను. అట్లుకాక శరీర సంబంధమైన వ్యాధులు లేక సౌఖ్యముగా ఉండినా పై నిబంధనలను జయించిన తరువాతనే అప్రయత్నముగా తనంతట తనకే జ్ఞానోదయము ఏర్పడును. ఆ జ్ఞానము వల్ల మోక్షప్రాప్తి కలుగును.
After being a householder and experiencing the sorrow, happiness and joy and also learning the true significance of all these, when man reaches the age of 45 or 50, he has to renounce all the three and retire into the forest, leaving the house he has built and the place where he lived. If his wife is alive then, he has to take her consent and entrust her to the care of the sons or her parents. Or he could also take her along with him, but look upon her not as a wife. Instead, he should follow the path of Brahmacharya and treat her like a sister. There should be a change even in the diet. He has to eat roots and fruits and drink only milk. If this is not possible, then he could consume sattvic food, which is cooked up to one-third on fire. Rice should not be used much. In case he is not able to arrange such a diet for himself, he can visit the village nearby and collect food by begging. But he has to bring the food into the forest and eat it in his own habitation. He has to give his dependents the same food that he partakes. He should neither get anything specially for them nor prepare anything that they would prefer. If they eat this food, it is fine. Else, they have to be made content with milk and fruits. In any situation, he should not compromise on his principles for others' sake. However inconvenient the situation might be, discipline must never be modified or given up. This has to be specially kept in mind. He should not perform any worship or engage in almsgiving or any such activities. Even if he gives food or articles to others, he should not think of it as alms. At the same time, he cannot also receive anything as alms from others. He must have the same pure love towards all in equal measure. Discarding old clothes once in a year, he must don new ones in the month of Ashvayuja. Among the vratas or vows that a vanaprastha might undertake, the Chandrayana vrata is the most important. In this month, for the first 15 days, he must eat a morsel less every day, and for the remaining 15 days, a morsel more every day. He has to take only kanji or cooked rice water on the new and full moon days. In the rainy season, he must do tapas standing in the rain. In winter, he must wear wet clothes while engaging in tapas. Performing such asceticism systematically, he has to bathe 3 times a day, morning, noon and evening. The various Upanishadic statements have to be studied, their meanings understood and experienced. If such a vanaprastha falls victim to any disease, the diet routine has to be cancelled and has to live on air and water alone and continue to walk on and on in the northeastern direction until he passes away. On the other hand, if he has no bodily disease and if he is hale and hearty, he will experience, after he has adopted the above disciplines, the spontaneous dawn of true knowledge. By means of this knowledge, he will attain moksha.
So, that is the description that Bhagwan has given us about the Vanaprastha Ashram, very clearly delineating how one should conduct, what should be the level of social interaction, what he should eat, what he should wear, when he should wear, how much he should eat, to at the same time, in the end, you have to maintain the body. If you have done all this, and at the same time, if you have not maintained your body, then, you know, Swami says, you know, you just keep walking toward the northeasterly direction because, you know, your body could not take this. If you have maintained your body, then you will be able to get moksha. So, I was just reading Manu's Smriti, you know, where he also lays down the different stages of human life. And there he says in one paragraph, a vanaprastha should be engaged in regular study, control his senses, keep friendly behavior with everyone, have a tranquil mind. He must always give in charity, not accept gifts from others, and have mercy on all living beings. So, some way Bhagwan has elaborated this entire thing, what is there in Indian culture and spirituality. So, sir, please share what occurred to you as you heard this.
It's very interesting. I will start with my own interactions with Bhagwan. After he allowed us to join in 1986,
mm-hmm.
I was close to 40. And after a few years, in one of the interviews, Bhagwan told us, me, my wife and daughter, that now onwards you are in vanaprastha.
Oh, yes. You mentioned that?
Yes.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Hmm. And at that time, I didn't know the meaning of vanaprastha. And he says, slowly then, sannyasa.
Mm-hmm.
As you have also brought out various, even in Swami's Vainis,
yes.
I was not able to place what exactly vanaprastha means. But little bit what he explained over there, I understood that now it's time that we have to give up the attachments
mm-hmm.
to various things related to our body, our family members, your mind. If you actually see what he did earlier to me or told me, and now when I look back, the greatest revelation comes to me is that Atma, mind, buddhi, mind and body, they are all connected with each other. The human body is given to understand, to transcend the body. Then will be mind and buddhi and ego and then Atma, okay. Now, why in this first initial the statements which Bhagwan is showing, giving so much importance to control of body, and the body is sustained by food and clothes and environments, because it's very, very difficult to get rid of body attachment. What is ego actually? Ego is nothing but considering one to be a body, the self, the Atma, God. Confining only to the body is called ego. Ego is not necessarily ahamkaram, meaning the pride, but this is called the ego. Unless body is and another tricky thing is, if body is not given to us, you will never have any understanding, even awareness, beingness.
Yes.
Senses will operate only along with the body.
Yes.
And inside body, inside the mind, it's Atma. It's not a separate entity.
Mm.
It's Atma which is functioning through the senses and the body and enjoying. It is a very, very deep instruction, and we have to understand in the context of what Bhagwan has said based on the Vedic suggestions, and what he had said this about 50-60 years back in Vainis, and slowly how even Swami has relaxed some rules.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean the benchmark has been brought down. No. We have to go through these tests or the, what you call, the the
sadhana.
Sadhana, that's the right word, thank you. The sadhana, the level of sadhana has to be equivalent to what it's been given. Mm. I'll give a small example. Sorry, I'm straight away starting.
Absolutely,
this,
sir. Absolutely. No.
I did not even give you chance to.
We are waiting to listen, sir.
No, we will. Please contribute whatever sure. your. Because it's not that only youngsters, Swami is not giving. You all, maybe even already in Vanaprastha. I'll explain and prove that to you. Remind me if I miss this point. See, earlier when we joined, or when any devotee came here, the Swami did not allow the proper transport even up to Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to recall all those circumstances. Even let us see the darshan ground ever since I came in 1986 and little bit before onward Swami permitted. I have been coming since 1982. There were only sand.
Right.
Then you would sit there and maybe Swami comes when he comes. You don't have to worry about your clothes. I remember I used to be very cautious about how can I sit on sand. Sometimes it will be a little wet. Sometimes the dirt will, mud will come on my clothes. He made us get rid of the attachment to the clothes, looking very nice and
yes.
Okay. Then many times it will be very sunny, especially in the afternoon session, sometime in the morning also. And when I came here in Parthi, there were only three seasons, and jokingly we used to say, here, you're hot, hotter, hottest. So every time I used to sweat and you're not allowed to take fan, hand fan, nothing.
Mm.
So it is sort of sadhana.
Absolutely.
Because you are waiting for God. Don't give importance to the surroundings, to your clothes, to your body, to the posture. He will make so many people crowded, you know, cramped, sitting there. And I used to be, why these people, the next neighbor is stinking and touching me, stinking there, he might have not had a bath. So this was a sort of feelings in me. Then sometime it will rain. Where do you go?
Correct.
Whether you can really wait. Because Swami is giving darshan, or we are waiting for his darshan. If you run away, okay, you miss. So these are the things he demonstrated. That even the rain, you have to be there. And literally we have gone through this. Now, when I, after he allowed me to join the institute, excuse me, then I saw one day, Swami came for darshan. It rained very heavily. Then Swami told students and teachers to come in the veranda. Whereas other devotees, many of them ran away. Very few remained there.
Sitting in the rain.
Sitting in the rain for Swami to come out for darshan. Swami did go to them. And the question was put, Swamiji, students are protected here. Why those people? Swami said, at least my understanding, the way whatever Telugu conversation was, that they have been given different facilities. Maybe they have earned prapti, as Swami once later on, he had told me in 1990, that all the students and teachers I have collected here are of Maharishi Tattvas. So they have already gone through these the sadhanas. So they don't deserve to repeat that extent or those type of sadhana, whereas devotees still they have to pass through those stages. But his benchmark is very kept. Even if nobody is following, Swami has said, right is right even if nobody follows, wrong is wrong even if all are tending to follow. So we have to take with that spirit of the level of sadhana we have to do to get the self-knowledge. Now, afterwards, again Swami said that, see, the devotees are coming, sometime rain, sometime very scorching sun. He built a kulanthal.
Kulanthal, yes.
And then one part, second part, third part, he kept extending to it. Now, all the devotees were given comforts. Similarly, when I see, please allow me to elaborate on this because I have gone through this and I could understand why now better than at that time when we were going through. As a teacher, when we join in our office, only one chair to each teacher in the common room, teacher's common room. Then I didn't know where to keep my notes, books. Then they said, no, don't ask anything. There are no fans.
My God.
No fans in the quarters. Quarter was only a staff quarter. Only four walls. And no furniture, nothing. We left everything and we had come here. Swami didn't say that, oh, you came from such a status, so we'll be giving you some comforts. Nothing. No comforts. Even the basic needs were not necessarily given to us so easily. We had to struggle. Coming to the same institute, then our dean at that time approached Bhagwan, Swami, we have teachers who are coming from big industries and they have occupied big posts, and please, basic requirements we have to give. Swami relented. Then slowly he kept giving to other departments also. When I look back, why did he do that? Not that he had dearth of funds. There was no even fan. Then we said, Swami, we need OHP. He said, why? The blackboard and chalk is enough. Then, no, Swami, certain drawings, otherwise it takes very long time. We have to explain to the students. He relented that. Then he provided fans in only few classrooms. Then gradually he removed, because he made us go through those, the sadhana, and then he relented. That means we have passed those stages. Even the students, even now, if you look at the hostel, but when I compare what hostel was in '80s, early '80s, that boys, they did not have fans in the rooms. In one room, there'll be 15, 20, even more. Yes. Students, limited number of bathrooms.
Right.
In the morning, when one person has to answer the call of nature, you know, other four boys will be waiting. Arey, jaldi karo, jaldi karo. Fast, fast. So that your attention goes only to ease yourself and come out. Nothing else. Your the attachment to the body goes away. Even the... But you will be very particular to see that you are clean-shaved, neat clothes you wear, you have to wash your own clothes, iron your clothes, and yet you are to be presentable. One day, Swami was catching some boys. Hey, what is this long hair? What is this ugly? Why did you shave? No, Swami, I shaved last night. No, every day morning you must shave. So, and the clothes, see, it is not even iron. I'm not asking new clothes, but whatever you have, it should be properly dressed, and comb or the belt or everything he was watching. A thought came to me that why is Swami so particular about external appearance of the boys? He reads the thoughts. Swami said that boys, when they can see their body, if they are not taking care of the body, how will they be able to control the mind thoughts which cannot be seen physically, which are not tangible? So they have to go from tangible things to the intangible things.
Beautiful.
So seeing this, when I look back, fantastic way he made us go through. Now, these Upanishads, when they have said, it was more probably relevant in those times than now. It doesn't mean that we have to dilute those standards. Again, I'm repeating, his standards are fixed. You have to pass the test, you have to raise yourself to that level. But nowadays, he is giving in a modern way the same level of what you call difficulties in order to detach ourselves from the body and the mind. It may be now different way. So we have to take the spirit of what it is said, rather than literally you do. But if you, even if you today literally we follow that, I'm sure that we'll reach the goal. So, but because of the present environments of food, the health of the people, general medication, then pollution, and everything is polluted, water, the food, the environments, the sound pollution. I don't know how many of people after 50, they will be able to do that. Now, when he told me that from now you are in Vanaprastha, I did hear, which even this morning I asked my wife, she said, no, she did not hear, but I heard, Dekho, you live together, not necessarily like a brother and sister, but you are in Vanaprastha. That means now you need not indulge in sense pleasures. So while you are in the family, that the feelings have to be that now I am in Vanaprastha. So absolutely, not necessarily that you have to, your wife has to tie a rakhi now because she is becomes your sister. No. Or you can't ask her something if you want to eat something special. So what? But you be careful. This is what I have gained or learned from Bhagwan when specifically told me this. I think there are a few more things. What is your opinion, Prakash?
Absolutely, sir. I mean, if Swami has directly told you, I think this is the right interpretation for today's day and age. Because how Swami makes it relevant to us today, how we are to follow it today. Because everything that we do externally and physically is to inspire that thought process in us. Swami gives that beautiful story in one of his earliest discourses. He says the king and queen, so they have taken up Vanaprastha and they're going to the forest. And they've given up everything. And as they're going in the forest, the king suddenly sees a shining diamond on the road. And he sees that there is a shining stone, and then he says, oh my God, again, if my wife sees it, she'll get reminded of all the luxury and all the diamonds. And very quickly, he just goes and throws some sand over it. He throws some sand over the diamond so that she doesn't see. But she has noticed it. And then she asks, what is it? What were you doing? And he said, no, see, there was this diamond. I wanted to make sure that you are not attracted by it. And she says, she feels very sad. He says, what happened? She says, I feel so sad that you still have a difference between the diamond and the sand.
Wow. So she was more
she was more advanced. So she says, I feel so upset that for you there is still a difference between the diamond and the sand. So as you rightly said, I think externally what we are trying to do, okay, they left the palace, they are walking and going. But in the mind, what is the level of detachment you're having in the mind? And what is the kind of approach that you're having? That is, I think, more important. Another story which Swami says, because it is all about giving attachment, giving up attachment.
Giving up the attachment.
Moha.
Yes.
So this, again, in one of the earliest discourses, Mohajit.
Yes.
Yeah. Swami gives the story of Mohajit.
That's right. Yes.
So Swami says that Mohajit is a prince who goes to the forest and he goes to a sage and he says, sage, I want spiritual knowledge. And the sage says, oh, you want spiritual knowledge. What's your name? He says, Mohajit. Mohajit means you are a conqueror of attachment. You are now detached from the whole world. Are you sure you are detached? He said, yes, I am. Have you conquered attachment? Yes, I have. Not only me, my entire kingdom has conquered attachment.
Wow.
And the sage was like, oh, really? So he said, okay, let me test him. And then what he does is, he tells, can you please give me your clothes? And he takes the prince's clothes and gives him a simple ashram attire. And he soaks his clothes in blood.
Oh.
He soaks the prince's clothes in blood and takes it to the palace. And he rushes to the palace and he goes and the guards are shocked. And he says, I want to meet somebody. And he rushes inside. The maid is there, who is the family's maid. And he rushes to her and she says, princess died. I want to. She says, see, he was born. And whatever is born is bound to die. What is the big hurry in this? Now I have some work to do. Let me continue my routine. Why should I disturb the routine of the king and the queen on such trivial matters? And he's shocked. He says, what will a maid know? she has no attachment to the prince. I will go to the king.
Wife.
So now the sage was surprised and he rushed with the robes to the king. And the king says, the bird flew off from the tree on which it had alighted.
Wow.
The prince, the king is totally detached. And he is shocked. And the king says, yes, it's like a bird that comes and sits on a branch for some time. And then it flew off. So what is the big news in this? And then he said, what will a king know about love and attachment? The king is totally, mother, the queen will know. So he rushes to the queen. And then when he goes to the queen says, this world, this whole earth is like a traveler's house. People come, stay at night. Then they get some acquaintances, they meet each other and they say hi, bye. Next morning they get up, each one goes in their own way. They go back to their own destinations. So why are you so perturbed about this? And he says this whole kingdom has gone mad. And of course, the only person who will really value is her husband. So he goes to the wife of the prince. He goes to the wife and he says, see, these are your prince's clothes, your husband's clothes. I don't know what to do. He's now been attacked by some animals and he has been killed in the... Nobody was around. So I brought this. I wanted to show you all. And she says, have you seen a river anytime? And he says, yes. He says, two twigs from the tree, when they break and they fall in the river, and then for some time, they go next to each other. Husband and wife are like that.
Wow. He got his
he says, husband and wife are like that. For some time they come together. Then the stream of life keeps going. So after a while, they are automatically separated from each other. Now, what's the big deal about this whole thing? And he was totally shocked. And then he says, oh my God, there is no hope. And he rushes back to the prince. And he tells the prince, last attempt, the sage is trying. Sage tells the prince that, you know, when I went there, I saw that the whole kingdom has been destroyed. Their enemies have come, they have attacked the kingdom, and the whole kingdom has been destroyed. The king, family, everybody is gone. Nobody is alive. King says, life itself is like a water bubble.
Wow.
Life is like a water bubble. It is so impermanent. It comes and it bursts. Now, what is the big deal? Why are you making such a sound or noise about this? And then the sage says, okay, you are ready for spiritual wisdom.
Wow.
And then he blesses him and he gains. So, this whole story Swami narrates, like you were mentioning, sir, I think on one side, it is the physical discipline and the do's and don'ts that Swami is saying. But towards what end? Towards what end? And that end, I think, is the approach and the maturity of detachment that you have from the
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May I tell...
Please. Why? Yes, sir.
May I tell another personal observation and experience?
Mm-hmm. Sir.
Swami allowed me to be here continuously from 1986 onwards. 87, something happened with my physical health. Actually, the problem had started much earlier, which I did not know. Before I came here, I worked in a chemical industry. It had affected my liver.
Oh.
I had become very lean. Every now and then, jaundice I used to face. One day in Darshan line, Swami asked me, how are you, sir? I was feeling very weak. I didn't say anything. Swami, your grace. I'm fine, Swami. Your grace. He went to my wife. How's your husband? Swami is fine. Then when we met and discussed this, why was Swami asking? I knew why he's asking. My wife did not know. Then the problem started going deeper and deeper. I don't want to even name that the problem, because many doctors told me what the problem was. Not one, 4 or 5 doctors, even my very friend, doctor, homeopath, he's MD, he also told me the same thing. But Swami never mentioned the name of the disease. I also kept my mouth shut. I became weaker and weaker. So much so that when Swami used to come for darshan, even for few moments, holding hands, folded hands, was strenuous.
Oh, my God.
My hands would just fall. And further, it became so bad that he used to give me energy enough to go attend the lecture, I mean, give the lecture in the college, come back. Again, if it is a break of 1 or 2 hours in between, I would go again.
Mm-hmm.
So it had come to that point. I was not able to eat anything, excepting one, you call it the kanji, but it was for me, the atta roasted and made a paste, a watery liquidy, like a porridge, and jaggery little bit in it. That's all my system was accepting. But some boys used to come for me, come for homeopathy to me, which Swami had told me that, yes, you can give homeopathy to the student, but always remember, you are merely an instrument. You give with love and compassion, and rest I will take care. Cure comes from Swami. He tried to test me various times. Okay, that is a little side story. Why I'm telling this now, one boy, he came a few times for some problem, health problem, and I gave him the medicine, but it was not satisfactory to him. He said, sir, can I go to Swami and ask him the solution? I said, by all means, if Swami gives you vibhuti, or even if he doesn't give you vibhuti, all your problems, not physical, even mental and spiritual problems will be resolved. So he went and told Swami, Swami, I need, I mean, this is the problem. He said, have you taken, Swami asked him, have you taken medicine? Yes, sir. Yes, Swami. Who gave you the medicine? Bhagya. He called me. Hey, Bhagya. I went there. Then in my presence, so that I can listen what Swami is talking to the boy and the other doctors sitting there, Swami is telling to the boy what that, in Hindi first he said, ye tere ko kya medicine dega? He is wo khud patient hai. So what medicine this fellow will give you? He is himself is a patient. Swami created vibhuti, gave it to him. I was very happy. Then he told me, I know your problem. Nobody can give you the medicine. But you are not telling me. So what can I do for you? In my mind, literally in mind, you can address Swami the way you like. Nobody will come to know. But Swami comes to know. You are in a, he's a antaryami. I said, all right, you don't want to give. I know that you are my divine mother. I never told anything to my own physical mother, whatever needs I had, be it clothes and food, because at that time we have come out from very, very difficult, challenging situations, financially, even socially, economically. So I never told my mother, I need this, or please get me this, even on festival days. Your divine mother, you know, and you said, tumhara medicine mere paas hai. Your medicine is my hand. No doctor can give you. Why should I ask you? If you want to give me, give. So he didn't give anything. Okay, fine. Every now and then, in the darshan time, he would come and ask me, how are you, sir? And that gives an opportunity to fold my hands in front of him. Swamiji, your grace. One day, Laddu Prasadam was distributed, so I kept it in my pocket. And Swami came, he pulled my pocket, he said, what is this? I said, Swamiji, Prasadam. Ye bhi Prasadam hai. Meaning, this is also your Prasadam, the ill health is also Prasadam. I said, yes, Swami. Can you, do you eat? Swami, it's your Prasadam. I know. Then, like that, it went on. And stage came, even drinking water was painful.
Oh, my God.
Nothing was going down. And it was clear that last stages are coming.
But you never opened your mouth?
Never.
Never asked.
Then, 1994, Swami gave us interview and clearly told my wife that, see, don't worry about future. I'll take care of you. So indirectly hinting me, I'm going physically.
My God. And,
but the assurance that Lord is going to take care of them.
Mm.
It went on. Then I remember 1997, till then it went on and on and on.
From 1987 to 1997?
Seven, 10 years.
Oh my God.
I remember 30th November 1997.
Hmm.
Swami discussed something with the doctors, came to me. Initially he said that, addressed me as, he is a patient himself, what type of doctor, he will give you the medicine to a student. Hmm. He said that, I will give you the medicine. Now, 1997, November 30th, he says, comes to me, Bhagya, these doctors, I just had a discussion with them. They are telling that by eating almonds, the cholesterol increases. You are also a good doctor. Now he's telling me, I'm a good doctor. You're also a good doctor. What is your opinion? I said, Swamiji, if we eat almonds as such, maybe it will increase the cholesterol. But if almonds is soaked in water and then remove the peel and eat that, that on the contrary will reduce the cholesterol.
Mm.
And it's good for liver.
Mm.
He looked at me, how do you know that? Then, very meek voice, I told Swami, Swamiji, this is the only solid food my body accepts.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking every day? Yes, Swami. How many? 5. How do you take? Swami, overnight I soak, morning I peel, and chew it, that is accepted by my system. Then he was so happy, he pulled my neck.
Mm-hmm.
He said, take namaskar. He pushed me
mm-hmm.
to his lotus feet
mm-hmm.
and he kept on, you know, giving me blessings. Long life, happy life, healthy life, spiritual life. And then
mm-hmm.
he pushed me. I rolled down because I was so weak.
Uh-huh.
Then I was taken aback. On one side he's blessing me
mm-hmm.
and he pushed me with saying that, go!
Mm-hmm.
Go means where?
Mm-hmm.
Then bhajans got over. It was evening interactions. Bhajans got over. I went home. I was not able to understand what is happening. So in a natural intuitive way, I filled half a glass of water to take few sips because mouth had become dry. When I took water, one sip, second sip, arey wah, I am able to take it. Took half a glass, took more, full glass. I started dancing.
Wow,
I am able to drink water, one full glass of water I am able to drink, and no, nothing happens inside. So then it flashed to me that what Swami did, he cured me for everything. And when he said go, not to me, to the disease.
Wow.
The last stress of disease, that go.
Mm.
But after that also took four more years.
Mm-hmm.
Even 99, when Swami took me to the Kodaikanal, and he used it, why are you eating only curd and rice? Swami, it's spicy, other thing. He called the person who was in charge. Hey, what type of cooks you brought? And there, Bhagya is not able to eat anything. So next day, food was bland. Then everybody was, they didn't know, they were not eating, enjoying the food. Then I folded and prayed to Bhagwan, Swami, problem is in my system. Please let the cooks prepare the normal food. Then what are you eating? Swami, with your grace, now I am able to manage curd rice and some sweet made up of milk. He said, yes. Then he called a person Even I can name Mr. Satyajit. And he called him, hey, give him 2-3 sweets he gave me. And he said, every day, curd rice and so many pieces of barfi. So now, this just the enjoyment of interaction. Let us see what he did. He got me get rid of attachment to the body. I used to be very, very fond of sweets, fruits, love, so much attachment. The stage came, even banana, nothing. When I said the water also was hurting me, so everything given up. Only one porridge, which was accepted. So he made me detach from that. Also, I used to have a very strong dislike of going to different countries, especially different systems, meaning this. I don't want to give more details because let us come to the point. Even that also, he, in a very different way, made me come out of it. No strong likes, no strong dislikes. Then, when I'm suffering, no interest in clothes, no interest in where I'm staying, where I'm sleeping, who my family members are. I was just barely existing in this body.
Just darshans,
just
Swami's
darshan
work.
And Swami's work, bare minimum.
Yes.
And suddenly, he removes all the problems, pays so much attention to me, takes me to Kodaikanal. Everybody said that we have seen farm boys, but there are farm professors also. So everybody said, why Swami is talking to him every day? What is he? They laugh, they interact. So he made me come out of it totally. But all attachments gone. So very severe standards which he has in a different way. Excuse me. He made me go through. And as it is just now, we heard that suddenly he will give you the true knowledge.
Correct.
And it really happened. And that is a different chapter, different story. It will take a very long time. How, from the physical constraints, tapas, suddenly out of his grace, you have to earn his grace.
Correct.
It will come, knowledge will come only with his grace. But to earn his grace, you have to go through all the tapas, all the sadhanas. Then you can't imagine, are how by doing this you get a self-knowledge? Yes, you will get. Follow his instruction. Have full surrender. This is out of my own experience. I can say that how, although the standards are given in Veda, but in today's modern world, he makes you go through it. The severity will be equivalent to what his standards are.
Absolutely. In fact, if you see the present education system, Swamis, you know, we always compare it to the Gurukula. This is a modern manifestation.
Absolutely.
Of the ancient system, the ancient practices. Everything is now there in a way that is suitable to the times. And I think, as you mentioned before also, in the life in Prashanti, the life in the ashram, I think it is so much in tune with the Vanaprastha kind of a life.
Right.
Because here, you know, Swami, in the earlier days also, Swami used to be so particular about no social interaction. People, your only thing is, your house is so small that you can't really socialize and all that.
you can't invite anybody.
You can't invite, there's only one room. Okay, so there is no two rooms for you to keep one room for yourself and have another room, drawing room.
What, Prashti? I remember in those days, if two professors on the way from home to college are back, if they meet and interact for a few seconds, they stand there. Because he is omnipresent, he said, hey, what were you doing? People
God.
Used to be scared. Is he God or what?
Exactly.
So it is for us to control.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I remember, apparently in the 70s, where the Purushchandra auditorium is, there was only a shed there. And about 400 or 500 people could stay. I mean, that is in a very, very basic shed. That was the only accommodation which was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that, of course, during darshans, it was absolute silence. It was pin drop silence that we have experienced in the 90s and 2000. But even otherwise, people would talk only in whispers. No one would even raise their volume. I mean, that is how quiet it was. And that is what Swami sort of, and especially with women, Padma Kashtari aunty was telling, how Swami would be so particular about how they should dress and how they conduct. You would want them, to look down and not laugh loudly. And
what, Pushti? Me and my wife, we never walk together, not holding hand with each other. Walk together. So whenever we had to go, okay, you go a little further, I will come. Not that I'm scared or anybody should not see that she is my wife, but that is the standard we maintain.
The kind of vanaprastha.
Yes.
Basically, I think it becomes clear when we go to the next segments of this. Bhagavan is explaining why we should follow these disciplines.
Yes.
But I think, as you mentioned before, Swami put everyone through this process. Because ultimately, whether you are in brahmacharya or in grihastha or in vanaprastha, the restraint that one should have on the senses is always there. Just that in vanaprastha, you are at a stage where you cannot compromise anymore.
Right.
Like in brahmacharya, you cannot compromise. Mm. In vanaprastha, again, you cannot compromise.
Because this is standards. It's not the
standards
physical
have,
age
that's
only.
What, yeah. Standards have not diluted.
Age-wise also.
Yes.
Just a little bit. Do we have time?
Yes. Yeah. We have 5-10 minutes. Yeah.
Swami came and my colleague was by my side, and for darshan we were seated, and Swami came and Swami asked that Mr. Okay, I need not give the name, that what are you? He was not able to get it. He said, Swami, I'm Kshatriya, because he was actually in the army and he left that and he came and joined as a lecturer. Very good sacrifice. So Swami asked him, what are you? He said, Swami, I'm actually Kshatriya.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami, standing next to him and pointing to me, then Bhagya is a Brahmin.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He said, that gentleman is telling Swami, no, Swami, he's Shudra.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know his family, they are in business, he's Shudra.
The other person said.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I was listening. Actually, I didn't know the full meaning of what is Shudra. So, Swami came closer to me then. He said, who is Brahman? I did not answer. One who remains in awareness of a Brahman is Brahmin. Brahmacharya is the one who remains all the time, not only the controlling of senses.
Yes. Yes.
So at any stage, one has to be, as towards the end it was said that you have to go back to Brahmacharya.
Yes. Yes.
Brahmacharya means continuously contemplating only on God.
Yes.
Then you become Brahmacharya or Brahmin.
Mm.
Not by where you are born or which profession you are engaged in.
Or if you are born to a Brahmin parent, that does not automatically make you a Brahmin.
So Swami has a different way in this modern age, but standards are same.
In fact, I was just reading Prashnottara Vahini.
Yeah.
That also Bhagavan mentions, about his Vanaprastha Ashram. Swami says, you talked about how Swami told you to start leading a life of Vanaprastha. Swami says, okay, the husband and wife henceforth should live as brother and sister. Swami says, provided this new relationship is maintained, life in the home also can be transformed into a forest dweller's life.
Wow.
So Swami says, it's not as if you have to go into the forest. It is the spirit of learning how to sublimate everything.
Correct.
Every desire, every thought, we have to learn to sublimate. And I think That is, I think, that is the training which is there for all. I think when you're in a setup like this, in an ashram like Prashantilam, it becomes easier because the conditions are more conducive, provided you take to this path seriously.
And also, Swami, once one of the meetings we had in higher secondary school, mm-hmm. when the new hostel was constructed, there, first time I heard from Swami's mouth directly, that what is Sai, S-A-I, see always the inner significance of whatever he does.
Yes.
One good example, at that time I didn't have the definition in my mind, good example what he made me understand this, when we came here, we had a very tiny daughter, and we wanted her to be admitted in the school. So he gave us interview. Swami told the concerned authorities, and admission was given, even though middle of the year. Then after a few days, darshan time, Swami asked me, "How's your daughter?" I said, "Swami, thank you very much. We admitted her in the school." Swami was very happy, nodded his head. After a few days, again Swami asked, "How's your daughter?" How's daughter? Not your daughter. Swami said, "How's daughter?" So I thought Swami is asking about my daughter. Swami, she is very happy. But when he inquired, I discussed with my wife, both of us, we went to the school to find out how she's doing. She was very happy. Next day morning, Swami comes for darshan and he asks me, "How's daughter?" I said, "Swami, yesterday we went there and she's very happy, Swami. Thank you so much, Swami." Swami did not respond much. He listened to my response. So again the same day in the evening, Swami said, "How's daughter?"
Oh my God.
Now my mouth was shut. I had no words to say anything. In the morning I told you, and yesterday we had gone there. Again you are asking, in between has something happened, that was thoughts were going on, but no. Then evening again we tried to find out, everything was fine. Whole night I couldn't sleep. Why is Swami asking, "How's your daughter?" Not your, "How's daughter?" Then in the morning when I went to college, one of my colleagues, he had the daily routine of reading thought for the day before comes to college. In the ashram he reads. That day he noted down and gave it to me, left it on my table, and we all went for prayer. After the prayer, when I came, the thought for the day was, love is your mother, truth is your father, peace is your daughter. Wisdom is your son, and sages and saints are your friends and brothers and all other family relationship. I understood very well. Oh, Swami is asking about, are you now peaceful? Because that was a worry for us about our daughter. So next day morning, again, darshan time, Swami comes. Not morning. That morning I got the message. Morning he had asked. The same evening, he comes and asks me, "How's daughter?" I said, "Swamiji, growing very well with your grace." He patted me. Now you understood. Wow. So that gives me the clear, connection. Whatever Swami is speaking at the physical level also is correct, but inner significance you have to understand. So when he is giving all these physical sadhanas or the to be done, there has to be an inner meaning to it.
Yes.
When we interpret that,
yes,
I think I had read the further.
Yes.
That probably it will require.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely I mean, what you're saying is leading on to what Bhagavan has actually mentioned
exactly.
in the subsequent segments of this chapter. I think it really becomes interesting. It becomes more clear as we go on. And definitely, let's pray that, you know, sir, you'll join us next week, because we really need you to explain.
This is a very, very challenging chapter, I think. And there's so many enlightening things today, sir, we heard from you. Really,
it's all his grace that he made me understand that.
No, it's the power of first-hand experience. It's your own experience, how Swami gradually, in today's day and age, inspires you to follow the, you know, the path, spiritual path.
Yeah, it's all we are grateful to him that.
So with prayers to Swami that we'll continue this segment with you. You have to hold our hand till we do completely with this chapter. So thank you so much, sir, for taking
it's
the time
my pleasure.
Out.
I'm very happy to recall the sweet memories, interactions with Bhagavan.
So dear listeners, if you have Prema Vahini book with you, please go through this chapter 25. You know, probably you may have many queries, any questions. Please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We'll pray to Bhagavan and continue this discussion in the coming weeks of Vahini Satsang. Thank you so much for being with us. Sai Ram.